It's that time, dear ones, for Living the Good Life. Live right now from the Tantalk Network studio here in Clearwater, Florida. And we're very happy to be with you today. I am extremely excited about this show and very happy to be back in my seat here in the control room behind this board and getting ready to declare a mighty word from the Lord today along with Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, Betty Thomas in Indiana, daughter Megan Kramer later on, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister. And Pastor Jim, I had to be gone two Sundays, and I didn't intend to when I left, but circumstances changed with my kids when I got to Indiana and I had to drive one of the vehicles to Texas. I say had to, but it wasn't a drudgery. It was a joy. It was super cool to do that, you know?
I know. Anything for the kids.
It is anything for the kids, uh-huh. Yes. Yes, because Candy, my daughter-in-law, is carrying my grandchild number 12 right now, little boy, in 5 weeks.
Yeah, as I said earlier, what a prolific family.
Yes, yes. And there will be more. Some of them have not stopped, I hear. Oh, so goodness. I tell you what, this is really cool. Anyway, I am very glad to be right back here where I've been now for, we're in our 11th year on this show, Pastor Jim. It's only been a two or three that I've been doing the engineering in here. I don't remember exactly when that started, but I think about the Go Yard time, I think, when we started that show, wasn't it?
I think it was just before Go Yard started.
Yeah, and that's our Thursday night counseling life coaching show that Dr. Angel Falzoni and I do at 6 p.m. every Thursday night right here on the station. And so then I moved into this chair, so I have to look through the glass to see you and any other ones that are on the show locally. But we are blessed to have three that are not right here local from my church in Indiana that I pastored for 7 years, many years ago. Betty Thomas, as I mentioned, her daughter Megan Kramer, and Cindy Logan. So those are all holdovers from the old days in Newcastle, Indiana. And I didn't get to Newcastle, Indiana a couple weeks ago. My one son lives in Elwood and daughter in Muncie, but it's still the same area. And you're from Indiana. And isn't that, we didn't know each other in Indiana. We both went to Ball State. I did drive through Ball State.
Did
get to see the house that my parents and my sisters and I lived in when I was in high school and for the first 2 years of college till I got married, and went by that. And it's like two blocks from the campus. Got to see all the improvements to Ball State, our alma mater.
I know, it's completely changed.
Oh, my gosh, Jim. And also the pond back there, the little skating pond where my dad broke his ankle with ice skates many, many years ago, the year he got us all ice skates for Christmas. So my sister Karen was with me, and we were laughing about that. But it was quite a trip. What a blessing. So glad I got to do all of that. Played several hours of pool basketball with one of my grandsons, Mason, one day. Several hours. I'm not kidding. I did not minutes. I'm talking about hours.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I feel like it was just a very wonderful and family time, couple weeks, and glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah. So we got a great show today. Oh my gosh. I could not hardly wait to get here because the Lord is just speaking so much through this series that we're in, Precious Promises. You want to talk about that a minute while I cue up the first song?
Well, we've been in Genesis, and we started in Genesis chapter 12 and the promises made to Abraham. And it goes just about God's faithfulness. He is yes. true to his word, as we've seen with Abraham. When God makes a promise, he's faithful to fulfill it.
Oh, amen and amen.
It may take a while, as it did in Abraham's case. It took 25 years, but he will do it. He's faithful. He will do it. If he gives you a promise,
yes,
he will do it.
You know what? That is so very true. And we love those dear ones that come on right before us. And they're a wonderful show. And they were just talking about the coming of the Lord. And that's another faithful thing that he's mm-hmm. going to do. He's going to be true to his word. And he's going to come back. And he's going to come back soon. And it should give all of us a very huge wake-up call right now, especially with the events going on in our world. It's a wake-up time, don't you think?
Oh, I definitely agree. This is, there's no more time.
No.
To,
it's time to get serious.
To waste. Yeah, it's a time to get serious because Jesus is coming back, and it's, I mean, God says prepare because it's going to be tough. But we had, and I just read it today about the blessed hope. Just read that in Titus chapter 2. You know,
right.
Having the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the hope we have no matter how things look around us. We need to remember Jesus is coming and he's going to be coming back soon.
Oh, amen. There's just no time to just be lazy and lackadaisical and complacent like a lot of Christians are, actually.
Well, and Christians and I would say almost pseudo-politico Christians, people
right.
who say that they're Christian.
Right.
And yet.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I
that's okay.
I'm afraid to go there.
Yeah, that's all right. You don't have to go there. So, we're going to sing God's praises. Would you start with prayer today, Pastor Jim?
Amen. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, just rejoicing, Lord, over the fact that we get to share your word, that we get to talk about how great you are, how good you are, how faithful you are. What a mighty God we serve. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming back. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to empower us, to change us from the inside out. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this radio show. We ask, Lord, that the words we say would just be seed planted into the hearts of the listeners that would bring forth a harvest of deliverance, salvation, healing, peace, whatever needs there are, Father. We thank you that you're going to meet them. In Jesus' name.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Woo! Welcome to Living the Good Life. Sing, Sing, Sing by Chris Tomlin. Love it. One of my favorite songs.
Uh-huh.
One of my hundreds of favorite songs.
Not to love about you. adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens we were. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us. We shout your praise, lift high the name. Sing, sing, sing.
Praise God.
Grateful that you
hear us, mighty God. We shout your praise today as we begin this show. Ah, we love you, Lord. We praise you, God, for what you're going to get done today on this show. It's exciting. We look forward to it. Sing, sing, sing his praises. Doesn't your heart just fill up, Pastor Jim, when you're hearing a song like that that reminds us the importance of us opening our mouths and letting the praises of God fill our hearts and just push it out there, you
Amen.
Know?
Amen. Amen.
So many people don't have any idea how important it is to praise God. And this isn't a show on that, but just to throw that in, we do see that in Genesis 24, where we're going to go today. And so if you have your Bibles and want to join us, go to Genesis chapter 24. But we do see how Eliezer stops when he sees God answer his prayer immediately. He stops right there and worships God. He does not say, oh, well, I'll remember to thank God later.
Right. He just drops.
He drops.
As we'll see, he drops, literally
yes.
drops, and drops everything.
Yes.
To just stop and say, God, you answered my prayer.
Yes.
Woo.
How would our lives be different, PJ, if we were much more aware? A mindset that picks up on it when God has answered something, or when God is filling our heart with his praises, or peace settles on us. How much more effective would we be as soldiers of God if we were more quick to respond? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, amen. Amen. If, and I'm of course preaching myself right here, but if I did that, first of all, I think the people I work with might, they already think I'm kind of crazy.
But you can say it under your breath, or
well,
you can
yeah.
say it
and
in
I
your
do.
Heart, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. And believe me, and with the atmosphere, I think, you know, a lot of us have atmospheres where we work where it's sometimes hard to be godly.
Right.
And it just helps to maybe, you know, use my phone, put on, you know, I have music in my phone. I can put on
right.
my earbuds. Nobody
sure knows.
And I can just be kind of praising
right.
away at my desk.
Yeah.
And that's so important. Or driving down the road.
Yeah.
You know, praise God that keeps me from road rage.
Exactly. You know, the word I was struggling for is a real estate term we used years ago when I was training realtors, and it is top of the mind awareness. That's the term I was looking for, where we, and that was referring to realtors and being aware of people around you and who needs to know that you're a realtor type thing. But when we are aware on the top of our mind of God's presence in our lives and the fact that he's doing things right then and there, maybe a little tiny thing, maybe it's a huge thing, but top of the mind awareness to give God the praise and the glory first. Right then, as soon as we acknowledge that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we're aware. Betty just joined us, and you have a lot to praise God for since you just got out of the hospital again, don't you?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to be on the radio. I, you know, as I told you this morning, I said if we if we give our all, you know, Jesus will give us his all.
Yes.
And that's one of the blessings and the promises that he gives us. And, it's just when I was laying in the hospital and they said, well, we're going to, you know, just for precautionary measures, we're going to do a cardiac cath. And I said, okay, praise God. I said, God, you've got me through four others. Let's do the fifth and
sure.
Let's make this a good one. And he did.
Yeah.
He promised me that. He promises me so much. And I know I do a lot of talking, but anymore, Pastor Marcia and Pastor Jim, I do a lot of praising.
Yes,
because
yes.
It's just so, it's so important.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I ask for so much, but yet I never, maybe not give him enough thanks and praise for what he has done in my life all these years.
Oh, and we do. We give God the praise today that you don't need another heart surgery. You
Amen.
Had the triple bypass 2 years ago. Everything's staying strong. And that you're okay, and you came out of this last episode without a heart attack. So we thank God for that, Betty, and give him the glory and the praise. That's that top-of-the-mind awareness of what God's done right there. And we are aware that he gets the glory and the praise. So,
Amen.
So we're glad you're able to be on with us for a few minutes here. We have been talking about Wednesday night in prayer meet or in Bible study. We've taught Genesis 24. And about Abraham deciding that he wanted a wife for his son Isaac, who was about 40 years old at this time. And he set out to find the right person with God's leading and guidance. And how good that would be. And so all three of us have been married. You're still married, Betty. PJ and I are not, but how good it would have been, I suppose, for all of us to really seek God's plan and his purpose. Maybe we did somewhat back then, but maybe not. I don't know. But for all our listeners, the person you hook up with and become a partner with and married to or whatever your situation is so important because that person affects so much of your daily life and also your awareness of God. A lot of times people hook up with people that are just so not caring about God in their life. And so over time, that awareness of God can diminish in people. Do you understand what I'm saying, Betty? Do you want to comment on that?
Oh, my, yes. I was not a born-again Christian when Mr. Thomas and I...
Mr. Thomas. Jose?
Jose Eddie.
Okay, Jose Eddie.
Jose Eddie. You know, we've been married for 44 years, going on 44 years.
Right.
And wow.
One of the things that, you know, God did prevail and did come through was, you know, we've had our share of ups and downs. But we stuck it through.
Yes.
And when we both gave our life to the Lord at the same time, because we were struggling in many areas of our life and our marriage at that time, God did make a promise. He told us that if we would stand by him, if we would make him the center of our relationship, if he was the nucleus
right.
of our relationship, that he would see us through.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't say for how long, but you have to... You know, it's a give and take thing. It's 100%. You know, the God
right.
gives us 100%. We got to give him 100%.
Absolutely.
So it's been a building of trust and faith through all of these years. There's times when I remember, well, back before we got back in contact, that I turned my back on the Lord because everything just seemed to be going wrong, and I thought, well. You know, the more I follow you, it seems like the more I get into issues. And but again, he was sending me through school. He still is. He's still
yes,
teaching me.
Yes, he does.
He's still training me. He's still
yes,
leading me.
Yes.
And that's the cool part about the Lord is that he didn't leave me. I left him.
Right.
But you know, we picked up right where we left off. And I surrendered and said, "Okay, Lord, you know, I was the lame duck, so to speak. I was the one that went out on the water out on my own and almost drowned. I'm back, and yeah. I've been back since, and boy, am I glad I did.
Praise God. Praise God. So you both can attest with me that it's very important who people hook up with and marry, etc. And Abraham realized this, and he was not about to let his son Isaac find a wife there among the people in the promised land. They were not God's people. They were Canaanites. They were the people of the promised. That was the promised land, but these were the people that had originally inhabited it before Abraham and his family came. And so it's very interesting that he calls in verse 1 in chapter 24 of Genesis, he calls his servant Eliezer in and he says, I want you to go back to my homeland among my people and find a wife for my son that would be willing to come here and marry my son sight unseen. You know, there were no Facebook pictures or anything on Match.com back then. And so, you know, it was like a step of faith. And Eliezer asked the question, well, what if, like so often we all do, well, what if I find somebody but she's not willing to come back? Can I come get your son and take him to her? And Pastor Jim, what was the answer and why was that answer given?
No, you may not.
No, you may not.
And for this, I mean, I looked and remember in Genesis 15, when God made his covenant with Abraham,
yes, yes.
He said, your descendants will be in Egypt for four generations.
Right.
Because the sin of the Amorites who lived in Canaan is not yet complete. So Abraham had that in mind when he said, we're not going to let Isaac marry one of these Canaanites.
Right.
Because just as you said, they practice all these false
yes,
religions.
Yes.
And
right.
That, and as we see from Israel's later history, that it ruined
right.
Israel, ruined Judah.
Right. Exactly.
And then if Isaac went back to Haran, which is where the rest of the family was at in Mesopotamia, he may never have come back to
right.
the land of promise.
Yeah.
He may have just stayed
sure.
there, and there goes the inheritance. How are you going to inherit a land you're not in?
Exactly. And Abraham, Isaac, we say this every week in this series, Precious Promises, but they were, and you can find this out and bear me out, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It starts with the genealogy of the Messiah, starts with Abraham in Matthew 1:1, Abraham, and then his son Isaac. So Isaac was in the direct line of the coming Messiah, which was going to come about 2,000 years later, about, yeah.
From Abraham's time about 3,000.
3,000. Okay. And so God already knew what he was going to do, and he was going to send his son Jesus through the line of Abraham. So it was important that the line stay as pure as possible.
Yes.
So, okay. Abraham says to his servant, no, you cannot bring my son, you cannot take my son back to the last country. And we talked on Wednesday night and in our Facebook post, and if you haven't already caught our Facebook post from this past Wednesday, and if you're not one of those that subscribes to that, you can go to my name, Marcia, it's spelled M-A-R-C-I-A, McAllister, friend me, and I will accept you, M-C, capital A-L-L-I-S-T-E-R, or easier, go to B-O-H-M, or Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page, and we are the one with the rainbow that's got all kinds of colors in it. So go there, and all of our Facebook posts are there since January. But in that post Wednesday night, we talked about point one, that God wants to bring us out to bring us in. And this is a perfect example here. God wanted to bring this future wife for Isaac, who would be in the line of the Messiah, out from the old country, out from the past, into the promised land. And God is always working to bring us out from the things of our past, from the hurts, the rejection, the pain, the anxiety, the anger, all that stuff, into the new day. Whoa. With that said, before we go to this song, Betty, you want to comment on that? And we'll get a quick comment from PJ before we go. Pastor Jim, that's our word for him, our name for him, PJ, before we get to this song. Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things that Jesus did on the cross, and we sometimes fail to acknowledge that, is that he took his sins on himself when he went to the cross. So when when he brings us out, he's going to clean us up. He's going to
Amen.
To make us a creature that was created in his image.
Yes.
And to be able to do that, sometimes we have to be cleaned up a little bit on
yes.
the inside.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, and then we become a beautiful creature inside because we have the love that he instilled, he wanted, wants to instill in us, mm-hmm. and he wants us to share. And to be able to be able to do that is, I call it a never-ending process.
Right.
Because
it is.
It's like, it is. It's just, you know, we go from one day to the next. And, you know, each day is brand new. Each day he gives us is a chance to say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you that my heart is still beating. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm still breathing.
Right.
And then
yeah.
you have that opportunity to show your light into this dark world. It's one of the sweetest things that anyone can do was, you know, for God to give his only son for
oh,
us.
Oh, amen. Amen. And that's how we come from into all the blessings of God. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that before we do this song?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just a principle all the way through.
It
and
is.
Like Betty, I was thinking about, it wasn't enough that Jesus, well, as we say, it's Passover, it would have been enough.
Yeah, right.
If he had died for, if he'd taken away our sins, that would have been bringing us out. But he didn't just leave us there.
Amen.
He brought
Good
us
point.
In
Woo, yeah.
to the kingdom through his resurrection.
You can ring the bell on that.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
And the other thing really quickly, I was thinking of the genealogies as given in Matthew.
Right.
Four women, apart from Mary, were mentioned.
Right.
And all of them came out from another culture, you know.
Exactly.
As far
yes.
as we know, all those women, Rahab and Tamar and Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite.
Right. Exactly.
And Ruth.
Right.
I knew I was leaving.
Ruth, yeah.
Ruth was a Moabite.
Right, absolutely.
God brought them out
yes.
to bring them into the line of the Messiah.
Exactly.
What
Praise
a,
God.
What an amazing thing.
Woo, love it. So point number one, he brings us out to bring us in to all his riches and all his promises. Woo, let's hear Kristen Stanfield sing The Stand right here. I think this is appropriate. Love this song. Heard it driving down the road to Texas a couple weeks ago. Loved it.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before. Shoulders, my soul now.
Praise God, I'll stand. That's commitment right there. Abraham was standing strong and had committed himself to all that God had promised him and told him he was going to do, and that included getting a wife for his son from the homeland, from the people of God back there. And so he sent Eliezer on the journey. And if you're just now joining us, we're in Genesis 24. And he makes Eliezer his servant promise that he will not come and get Isaac and take Isaac back to there, but that he will bring somebody from there to the promised land. And that is what he did. And he also says here in about verse, I don't know, maybe it's about 8, I'm in the Message Bible, God will send his angel ahead of you to get a wife for my son. That is a strong, it's verse 7. That's a strong statement, Pastor Jim. He's not like, I hope it happens. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, I don't know.
Abraham was pretty sure that this was going to happen. I mean, it's almost like he's speaking prophetically, because he says, the Lord, the God who took me from my father's house, who promised me this land, who promised me Isaac, will surely send his angel before you to give you success. And I don't think that was Abraham's confidence, but it was also, I think, a prophetic word to Eliezer.
Yes. Yes, it was. And a word of encouragement. Yes.
Because he was the one with kind of the doubts.
Well, so. And that song we just played, The Stand, God expects us to stand in times when we don't know what the outcome is going to be, in times when we do know what the outcome will probably be, but to stand with, as that song says, with arms extended to God, praising him before we see the answer. And that's a huge principle of victory in the Word. A huge principle of victory. Standing before we see the answer. And that's what's going on here. And Eliezer had to believe Abraham and say, okay, I'm going. And I'm having mic trouble here. So, Betty, comment on this while I straighten out my mic thing here. Go ahead.
Well, and I think he calls us to stand because he's our high power.
Amen.
He is the one that stands before us, beside us, and behind us, and in
Amen.
Front of us.
Amen.
He is the reason why that we are who we are today.
Yes.
Some of us are not real pleased with who we are right now, but that can always change.
Yeah.
And it can come in a blink of an eye. It can come overnight, but sometimes, again, I go back to that surrender moment.
Right.
Where Thursday night is when you have to say, okay, God, I'm here. What are we going to do about this?
That's where you were this past Thursday at the hospital,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. What are we going to do here?
Yeah.
You know, it's up to you. It's not up to me. You know, I trust you. I believe in you.
Right.
And I know this sounds really weird for me. I didn't make it a prayer. I made it a praise, because I said,
that's
okay,
God, too. Yep.
Here we go. We're going to go through this again. It got me through 4. Now this is 5.
Right.
So let's make this count. Let's show some people just exactly what kind of power that we have as a team.
Amen.
And I say that to say this, is that just like that song you played, Stan, is that God has told us over and over and over and over again, and like you said, it's time to get serious.
Right, it is.
When God tells you to stand, stand. And don't dilly-dally. Don't say, well, I got to do that.
You're right.
No. It's just like waiting for a job.
Yeah.
Waiting for that financial miracle to come through.
Right.
Waiting for that real estate deal to come through.
Right.
Is that we can't be wishy-washy.
Right.
And I know it's probably not very, Shell will probably get on me for my grammar, but.
I don't think so.
We have to be able to say, okay, God.
Right.
Here I am.
Yes.
You know, it's just like here in Genesis. Okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Whatever you want, whatever you need, do it. Let's get it done. Let's get it over with.
Right.
And sometimes we become impatient in that standing time, in that waiting room. Like we had talked about the waiting room many, many months ago.
Right.
Is that we're in a waiting room and we're waiting on the answer. Is don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. Keep on standing. Just keep on standing because God will see you through.
Good stuff. Amen. We agree, Pastor Jim.
Well, when Betty, when you were talking, I thought about, as we'll find out later in the story, the proposed bride's brother tried to make Eliezer delay. Well, why don't you just stay with us, you know, 10 days maybe.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, you're right. The devil would like nothing more than for to wait.
Amen.
Yes.
To do what God's called us to do.
Yes. Someday. You'll do it someday.
You'll do it someday. Yeah, you get around to it sometime.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And we know how we are, and the devil knows how we are. We'll never get around to it.
Right.
We need, you know, what is it? 2 Corinthians, be a prompt to do it giver. We need prompt to do it praisers.
Yes.
Prompt to do it obeyers.
Yes.
I mean, I admit, I'm guilty of that too. You know, oh, Lord, this really isn't a convenient time. Well, you know what? When is it going to be convenient?
That's right.
You know? Because that's just a lie of the devil to keep us from doing what God's asked us to do.
I so agree. And there's so many times that we just get out of a routine and consistency. God talked to me about this morning and had me write down a whole lot of stuff about the next 5 weeks and what he expects out of me. And I'll tell you, a lot of it has to do with just being consistent. Just being consistent, quoting the word, speaking what he's saying, has said about my situation, and doing it faithfully every day, to the point that he had me make a little chart this morning in my notebook, and I'm going to be having to check it off whether I've done these things. There's like five major things. But it's consistency, which so many of us lack that in our lives. We get caught up in the moment. It's that old thing about, you're looking and talking about something, and they used to say chicken or squirrel runs across your path. Like what happens to a dog, like my dogs, when something runs across? If a squirrel runs up on the porch, oh my gosh, they go nuts, you know? They're totally diverted. If they were eating, it doesn't matter. They're going to look at that squirrel and go crazy over that squirrel. I think we as humans do that so often, whatever the emergency, quote unquote, of the moment is. Not necessarily an emergency. Speak to that, Pastor Jim. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Whatever can be used as a diversion.
Yes, a diversion, yes.
To get us.
Yes.
Well, diverted from whatever we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, the devil's going to use that. He can use other people. He can use our spouses. He can use television. Oh, I'd really like to see that.
Right.
You know, so again, I praise God for DVRs.
Right. You can just tape it and play it later.
I can tape it and see it later.
Sure.
But I mean, anything.
Right.
You know, oh, I need to do this. I need to do the laundry. Well, sometimes the laundry just needs to wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you can praise God on the way to the laundry.
There
and
you
back,
go.
You know.
There you go.
But the point is we cannot be moved from what God's called us to do.
And so often when our circumstances tend to divert us, God, the way that I'm beginning to look at this is use that diversion, and during whatever it is that you are having to do for whatever, if it can't be put off, be praising God mm-hmm. out loud or in the middle in your heart. I had no intention of driving to Texas, you know, a few weeks back, but things changed for me. But I can tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed the trip. God and I had a great time, just us. And I tell you, it's what you do with the opportunity. You see what I'm saying? It's what you do with that situation. Do you make it an opportunity to get closer to God, or do you allow the devil to take you down some crazy path? Betty, talk to us.
Well, I tell you, you got me fired up.
Well, there you go.
Whatever Pastor Jim just said, I was going to say, I mean, it was just ditto right on. Because I've noticed that since I was down in Florida with you folks, distractions come at the most inopportune time.
Oh, and yeah.
Especially when we get ready to go into a ministry. Or we get ready to. There was one gentleman that I won't mention his name, but you could tell when he walked in the room that he was easily, he had been distracted. He was not going to do this. He was not going to say this. He was not going to do this. He's tired of this. And the fellowship of believers gathered around that gentleman, and we laid hands on him.
Yeah.
And we asked the Holy Spirit to come and to give this gentleman peace.
Right.
Because that man ministered in that particular ministry that day or that night. And had he listened to those distractions and had the people of God not laid their hands on him and said, you know, distractions be gone, Satan, get thee behind him.
Sure.
Because he has something he needs to accomplish.
Right.
And see, that's when God works. So he just intertwines in these interruptions that we so called, that keeps us from fellowship,
right?
That keeps us from being a part of what God wants us to do. And it, you know what? After the interruption, they become excuses.
Right. That's
and
true.
It's hard to let go of those excuses because one excuse leads to another. But once we hear that still small voice and he says, it's time to get up, it's time to pick up your mat and walk, and when we listen to that voice and we follow that direction, just like in Genesis, when you follow the directions of what God wants you to do, the plan is aimless. I mean, it's endless. I mean, there's just so much that can happen once we obey, and obey.
Absolutely. And you can see that with Eliezer here. After he asked the what if question to Abraham, then he took... In verse 10 of Genesis 24, he went and he got 10 of his master's camels. That's a lot of camels. And loaded them with gifts. That's in anticipation that he would be giving those gifts away. Not because he was going to take those gifts to this land where Abraham was born and just bring them all back with him. You know, God gives gifts. Let's just throw this in right here. Not so that we can just sit on our gifts and talents, Pastor Jim.
Amen.
Right? I mean, we are to be using our gifts and our talents for the kingdom of God. And we're to give them away. These camels were loaded with gifts to be given away. And that's why we're on the radio today. And that's a poem.
Amen. And it was... I think a step of faith, because if you didn't think you were going to bring somebody back, why take the gifts? And you're right. I mean, we've all seen, like, you know, the either biblical epics or desert movies with camels loaded down with stuff. And imagine that was a whole lot of stuff. And we'll find out a little bit later. He was given all the great gifts.
Yes.
To Rebecca when he finally meets her. That's just amazing, but you're right. We don't keep them in the camel saddlebag.
Right.
You know, we have what we have, we are expected to use. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Use it or lose it, basically.
You know, and it's so true. And some of you may be out there that have beautiful voices for God. You have talent with musical instruments. Or you're an organizer or a church administrator or something, and you have let those gifts and talents go by the wayside because somebody made you mad in church and you walked out, or somebody pulled you away because they didn't like your pastor, or whatever the case may be. This happens a lot, where somebody enters our life and they pull us away from our gifts and talents that God has given us. Betty, talk to us about that. That's why it's so important that we are hooked up with people that will enhance our gifts and our talents. And that's why I'm single.
Well,
I'm teasing, but that's true. But go ahead.
Bless your heart.
I know. Bless my heart.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
One of the things that's the devil's plan is to distract. And when he distracts, that's when he can destroy.
Oh, can we quote you on that? Because boy, that's right.
That's good.
Woo!
Thank you. I don't know where it came from. I'm sure it's the Holy Spirit, because it's not me today.
Yeah, it's good.
But I've seen it so many times, because I've been in I hate to say this, I've been in a lot of churches where it's all for show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are doing it for, this is a hard thing to say, they're doing it for their glory. And those people, those churches failed. And the people failed. And they ended up back where they were. You see people who religiously get up week after week after week, and they give it their all. They
right.
give everything. They give, they're give the, you know, the, just like the widow gave a small pittance. She gave, you know, she gave everything she had, but God blessed her. And that's what God
Amen.
Wants. He wants willing, true, committed people to stand and stand firm and not let the devil, don't let the winds of change, don't let the winds just sway you back and forth, is that you've got to find yourself in a committed relationship with God.
Amen.
So that you Woo. can hear his voice, you can follow his commands. May not be easy, but once we hold on to the hand of the man who calms the sea, there's nothing that we can't do. And I'm one that is out of the swing of the ministry at this point, because I love kids. I love to minister to kids. I love to minister in music. And it's just when you're out of your niche.
Right.
And I don't like to use that word, but when you're out of sequence, that you're just not in step, you're not in time. And God's trying to get that timing step down so that you don't miss a beat. That's when the praise comes in. That's where the you know, you think, well, what's praise going to do? Praise breaks the yoke.
Amen.
It Ooh. Breaks the chain. It sets us free, and it sets us free to be able to be the people that God has created us to be.
Amen. Amen. Listen to this song. We're going to talk more to Betty and Jim in just a second. It is called The Same God by New Song. Listen to the words, they're powerful.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why, it's like the world's against you. You're praying for a breakthrough. There was a day when your faith couldn't be held down. God was near enough to hear every word. Somehow you wish he heard you right.
with you right now, dear listener. He'll take that fear and doubt away so that you can become all you need to be.
He's with you now.
He's with you now. Woo, talk to us, Pastor Jim. Wow, love that song.
I like it in that song, too, where it talks about, you know, he might bring us into a situation, and which is, you know, y'all come join us on Wednesday night because I'm going to be talking about bringing somebody into a situation.
Right.
To bring you out.
Yeah.
And I'm referring to Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham being commanded to offer up Isaac.
Right.
And, you know, God does not, never ask the impossible of us. Never. And, you know, we can, as Betty said, as you said before, and I did the same thing. You walk away from God, he'll let you go so far, then he starts reeling you back in. At least that was my experience.
He has a way of doing that.
Yes, he does. And when we, by our own stubbornness or whatever, disobedience, get into situations, God can still turn that around.
Yes, he can.
I mean, well, he always has. I speak from experience. He has always turned those things around.
With my life, too.
And that's what that, you know, in that song, it's like, yeah, he may allow you to go into something, but he'll bring you out.
He'll bring you out.
He'll turn it around. And what
what
the devil means for harm, he'll turn to good.
Amen. Amen and amen. So what we're saying here in this first hour of Living a Good Life today is that God is a very purposeful, intentional God. He has a plan. He knows what he's going to do. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows how your situation is going to turn out in your life. He just simply asks you to trust him that he is in charge, that he does see the big picture, and that he knows what he's going to do. And that's what happened right here. Mm-hmm. Abraham believed that God would lead Eliezer just to the perfect person to be the wife of Isaac. And really, that's a long shot, really, when you think about Eliezer finding the hometown of Abraham without a GPS on his cell phone.
On his camel.
On his camel. I mean, that's just like crazy right there. And then knowing in his heart what to pray specifically that we're going to get to as we start the second hour, praying specifically, so you don't want to miss any of that. Don't go anywhere. Tell some friends to call in, right? Tune in right now. And join us for all this because it's going to get better and better. Betty, I want you to, I know you're tuning off at 4 and your daughter Megan's taking your place. Do you want to comment here? You got about 2 minutes. Sum up kind of what you've been feeling today.
Well, some of us are unwilling and try to fight God at every turn. Every bend in the road. And once we turn that directional path over to him, things will get a lot easier. And I don't know whether it's our ego or whether it's our inability to understand what God really wants in our life. We feel like that we're kind of out in left field and everybody else is over in the other field playing, you know, softball or baseball.
Right.
We just kind of feel left out. And I feel like that, you know, even what you guys were saying about, you know, during in this first hour is that when we pray, we ask God for the faith to stand. I love that song played. We have to ask the faith to stand.
Right.
And, you know, even, I know many months back, we talked about filling our tank, being faced up.
Yes.
And it goes right along with the with Genesis 24 is that we have to learn to stand. We have to learn to be obedient. We have to learn to listen to God and obey him. And
right.
Quit going out and trying to do our own thing.
Amen.
And thinking that, you know, we are in control. I can control my own life. I don't need anyone else to tell me what to do. Well, maybe the situation that you're in, if you would just give God the chance to open that door that you've been trying to open it for weeks and months and it just will not open.
Right.
Maybe if you let him have the keys and you instead of doing it yourself, things might change. And
amen.
I know that God is a an opportune changer. He is a God of deliverance. He will see you through no matter what situation that you're facing. You're going to think it's impossible. The door's been shut. The windows are closed. The blinds have been closed. Well, let me tell you, he is the he is the changer. He is the house renovator. He will come in and he will clean house if you'll let
him. Yes, praise God.
And, he's such a precious and honest and sweet and wonderful God that I just can't give him enough praise.
Praise God. Praise God. We agree with you. Thank you for being on the show today. And you're usually on for 2 hours, but we want to save your strength here and get you some rest. So thank
Appreciate
you, Betty. And Pastor Jim, talk to us here about the prayer line, if you will, before we go to the station ID.
Sure. Well, Betty and I and Shell are part of that kind of handle the prayer ministry. And we do have a prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope. Please send us your request. We just got some, well, from Cindy, and Shell took care of those. You send them to us, and Betty and Shell and I get them. Usually the first one that sees it picks it up, and we write a prayer. We send it out to our prayer team, and we pray in unity because we believe in the power of unity. And we believe God's going to answer your prayers, no matter how big or small. The only thing we ask for that is that when God answers your prayer, you let us know.
It's always
good. I keep
praise
track of that. Yeah,
you got a great book.
Track of